Our text for meditation this morning is recorded for us in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 39th verse. We read as follows. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." These are your words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Two thieves lied in wait on a road at night. They intercepted a young family, but one of the thieves, upon seeing the husband, the wife, and their young child, took pity on them. And so he convinced his companion to let them pass in peace. As the family passed between them, the child turns to the thieves and says, "30 years from now, I will be crucified in Jerusalem, and these two men will be there with me." For these Christians have read this text from Luke, and have pondered how it is possible that this man, this criminal, could be saved in the last moments of his life. And so they invented stories, like the one I just told you, to somehow explain that this man had some good inside of him that caused him to be saved later on down the road. But to do this takes away from the beauty of the final miracle Jesus performed before his death. That right before our eyes, he snatches this criminal out of the jaws of death and brings him with him to life. Now, who was this man? We're not told much about him. Luke says that he's a malefactor or a villain. But many people believe that this criminal had a real prodigal son story. What they mean by that is that he grew up in the faith. He grew up nurtured by a good, loving Christian family. But as time went on in his life, he chose to put aside his faith and follow other paths. And so his road led him down a darker and darker path until finally the hammer of justice falls and we meet him hanging on a cross in our text. This man was a spiritual procrastinator. He waited until the very last moments of his life to repent. Now, I know standing in this room today, I'm not the only one that can say that I am well practiced in the art of procrastination. In fact, there's something about our human nature that tends to want to put things off till the last possible moment. So whether it's that term paper we should all be working on and we just want to spend 10 more minutes on Facebook, or if it's cleaning our dorm room or chores around the house that we can just put off for one more day. Maybe it's filing those taxes before April 15th, though there's a few weeks left. I know often, looking back at ourselves, we often can see how short-sighted we really are, how easily we are distracted, and how often those distractions cause us to regret our decisions. My dear Christian friends, may we never procrastinate in the realm of faith. May we never, even for a moment, put aside Christ and His Word, or put off private study or prayer for even a day. if there's a sin in our life. May we never tell ourselves that we'll change years down the road. Maybe we pick out a day like our wedding day, then I'll change. But no, repent today, for we are told that that our judgment will come like a thief in the night. No one will know the day or the hour when you will be held accountable for your life. For spiritual procrastinators like ourselves, Paul admonishes us to be crucified with Christ. What does he mean by that? Well, we can look to this very text, to the only Christian in history that actually was crucified with Christ. For we see this criminal looks at himself. He sees that all the poor priorities and all the decisions of his life led him to this one moment where he not only deserved the temporal death, but eternal death. More importantly, this thief looked to the innocence of the man hanging next to him. You see, only the Holy Spirit can work recognition of the great exchange. And we don't know how, but maybe earlier that day, even in his prison cell, this man heard the proceedings of Pontius Pilate's court. He heard how Barabbas was guilty, and Jesus, a man who was truly innocent, took the place of this terrorist on the cross. And if Jesus could take the place of a man as terrible as Barabbas, then he could take my place. This Jesus can lead me from death to life. What's truly remarkable and wonderful about this man is that in the history of Christendom, long before the disciples, long before even Jesus' own mother, he was the first to recognize the beauty of God on the cross. The Holy Spirit allowed him to see past the thorns and rather to see a crown. Rather than a blood-soaked body, he saw a royal robe on this Jesus. Perhaps his words earlier, his prayer to his Father to forgive them for they know not what they do, gives this man confidence. So he humbly yet boldly approaches the wooden mercy seat of God with but a simple request. Remember me. His prayer is our prayer. Remember me. May we occupy but a single thought in the mind of God, a single crumb of mercy from his table, a single drop of blood. That's all it takes to save us. Jesus' answer is for our comfort. He says, "Assuredly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This man's hands are nailed to a wooden cross. He can't perform any good works. His body is lifted up above the dry, parched desert ground. He cannot even be baptized. Yet this one thing is certain. Paradise is his at this very moment. There's no intermediary waiting period, no soul sleep, no place to go and pay for his sins after life, but immediate fulfillment. This is true for us today. Paradise is yours right now. It is a present reality. It's not something that can be put off for another time or another day. And the evidence of this is every day when we put aside our desire to sin, every day when we crucify our desire to follow the whims of our heart and follow this Jesus instead. By doing this, you are participating in a glory that is already yours. For as surely as this Jesus has died on the cross, he has taken your sin and your sinful nature and put it to death with him. And as surely as he lives, your life is hidden with his in heaven. You have already passed from death to life. Boldly lay claim to paradise, because Christ has laid claim to you. Amen.